The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Welcome or welcome back, as the case may be. It is Monday, the 24th day of January 2022, and I hope your weekend was fantastic, and I hope your fresh, brand new, scrubbed week is off to an already glowing start. We're off to a really interesting start today as we examine a fascinating moment in the ideological lens through which we see things, all right? This is a rare moment. I'm hearing from liberals who are kind of on board with doing something militarily to stop Putin from going into Ukraine. I believe the majority conservative view right now is no thank you. So what's that about? Is that a fascinating reversal of usually being the conservatives who are, shall we say, a smidge more friendly with the idea of military deployments to bring about desired results, while the left has hesitated at such things? The first thing that occurs to me is how much of it is because Biden is president? How much conservative hesitancy to do anything is because we don't believe much in Biden's ability to pull it off competently? How much of Democrat willingness to do something in Ukraine is an eagerness to have Biden do something that actually seems decisive and maybe even borderline strong? Would the tables be turned? Would people feel differently if Trump were president or a conservative Republican of any stripe? I don't believe I would. I don't care who's president. I care enormously who's president, but that doesn't color my thought about the wisdom or ill wisdom of getting involved in Ukraine. Let me give you some of the journalism of the moment last night and this morning. But before doing so, let me share the nuts and bolts of the argument being adopted by many conservatives showing a hesitancy to do things in Ukraine, even as a bunch of people from across the spectrum are seeming to favor some type of NATO involvement, American involvement. And the interesting thing is, what is the usual Republican, the usual conservative talking point about Biden is that he's weak. He won't show Putin anything. You know, he won't do anything. He won't stop Putin. It's like a barb. It's criticism. Oh, Biden won't. Here, matter of fact, hang on a minute. I think who's the first person we're going to hear? Listen to this.
Putin believes he can reconstitute the old Soviet Union and challenge the United States on the world stage. And right now he has more to gain then he believes he has to lose.
So that is Florida Congressman Michael Waltz. Here's Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst.
With this administration, we have seen a doctrine of appeasement, and that certainly is not going to deter President Putin and Russia from invading Ukraine.
These tactical things aren't what causes Vladimir Putin to recalculate his cost-benefit analysis. I think they don't see President Biden as credible. I think they see all this talking, these pieces of paper being exchanged, is not credible.
That's Mike Pompeo. And so this, which seems to be, right, unless I'm missing something, seems to be conservative criticism for Biden sort of not doing anything. Okay. But it seems that a groundswell of conservative thought is not to do nothing, but certainly there doesn't seem to be a groundswell of conservative thought behind the notion of American military involvement in Ukraine. So a couple of quotes. Ready? Here we go. And as I give you these, your thoughts, please. 866-660-5759. Maybe you have spent your entire life, as I have, valuing, cherishing the notion of America as a force for good around the world. Now, doesn't mean we go everywhere, do everything, get involved in every time zone around the planet, but it means that sometimes if the bar is set high enough, we're going to just step in and say no. And people go, oh, you're going to be the world's policeman? Well, guess what? Yeah, sometimes, because somebody has to. And we are the only superpower that's a force for good. Now, what I'm noticing is, particularly among conservatives, that the bar is not met for Ukraine. It's just not. So is that your thought? Let me know. And what does that mean? Does that mean that, because I would think in some sort of past day, if we go back 20, 30 years, and if I were to say, think forward to the year 2022, the Soviet Union will be gone, but an authoritarian Russian leader will have his designs, will have his sights, will have his troops amassed. And he's going to fancy an invasion into a former Soviet republic. Russia is going to invade Ukraine. Is that something that America should do something about? I would think most people would say, shoot, yes, and all the conservatives would. What changed? 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. So let's play a little name that quote. You ready? We will move more NATO assets closer to Russia if they once again bring war to Ukraine. That is a Democrat of all Democrats, Adam Schiff. It's just not going to be that simple. I think we should be doing a lot more, and we shouldn't just be considering a diplomatic track. That is a leftist toady and MSNBC analyst now, Alexander Vindman. So there's two from the left. Here's one. There needs to be clear consequences for what they do because we failed to deter, and now you're inviting conflict. That's Republican and veteran Dan Crenshaw. Here's another one. I don't think we're providing the deterrence necessary to stop Putin from invading Ukraine. That's Republican Michael McCall. It's time for the Biden White House to start speaking more clearly and more aggressively and telling us how they're going to stop this invasion from happening. That's Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. So, and Tucker had a big rant about this last week. Talking about how this is not the usual partisan chorus. This is the entire choir. Representatives from every faction in Washington, from Adam Schiff to Dan Crenshaw, and all of them are promoting war against Russia on behalf of our new and deeply beloved ally, the government of Ukraine. And the funny thing is that the borders mean nothing in America. You know, we don't care about incursions minor and major across the Rio Grande. But, oh, boy, we better not have Russians crossing the border in Ukraine. Is there a disconnect there? So Mark Meredith of Fox News fame was on this morning with the with the latest.
Besides the sanctions that have been talked about, administration officials telling Fox that it's possible the U.S. can impose some new trade rules, which basically would prevent Russia from being able to get its hands on semiconductors, computer chips, stuff that goes into smartphones, computers, also items that are considered crucial to any economy these days, but especially with what's been going on in Russia. But then, of course, no decision has been made yet. President Biden, he is still at Camp David right now. He's due back here at the White House within the next hour. Dana, we'll see if he has anything new to say on what's happening on the ground over there.
So, here, hang on a second. There was a, here's a guy who is in, Greg Palcott is their senior foreign affairs correspondent.
Yeah, Bill, we're watching and waiting. The people watching very carefully, the Russian troops massing on the other sides of their borders. The latest moves that we're seeing, Bill, is in neighboring Belarus. That country is literally 50 miles from where we are right now. What are called record numbers of Russian soldiers, along with tanks, artillery, and other hardware, is flowing in there. Total figures now well over 125,000 soldiers on most sides of Ukraine. This is the Ukraine government is still assessing the news over the weekend from the UK that it has information that Russia is plotting to install that puppet government here. That's in line with some things that the U.S. is saying. Analysts here say that could really only happen if Russia decides to invade.
Again, if that kind of whizzed by your head, the notion of the Ukrainian president being toppled and a puppet regime installed to do Putin's bidding. Okay. This is going to get very interesting. There's more of this, and I've got other things to play. Let me get back to your calls here, intertwined among these various developments. 866-660-5759. We're in Louisville. Dan, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Monday.
Hey, Mark. Happy Monday to you. I just wanted to raise up the issue. I was kind of surprised it hasn't come up yet, that in 1994, when, in the midst of the dissolution of the Soviet Union and concerns about the nuclear arsenals that were left in these former Soviet states, that there was something called the Budapest Memorandum that was signed between the United States and the United Kingdom and Russia, essentially.
And China and France.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are a lot of signatories.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. There were other signatories, that's for sure. And the whole idea was, hey, Ukraine, you give up this nuclear arsenal, leaving yourself defenseless to Russian incursion, but don't worry, we're gonna sign this agreement that prevents that going forward. And now
you got your back.
Here we are, exactly, just like we have the back of our allies in Afghanistan. So thanks a lot, Brandon.
Yes.
Right. Are we obligated or not? Yeah. Are we a country of our word or are we not?
Is our word breached if we allow is a weird word. I mean, is our word breached? Are we all actually in violation of the treaty? And what the gentleman refers to again is the Budapest Memorandum on Security Assurances in Clinton's first term at the end of 1994. Have we gone back on our word if we don't go all in to defend Ukraine against a Putin incursion?
And so I'm certainly no scholar on the Budapest Memorandum, but it does seem to imply something about maintaining the borders of Ukraine. So do the borders need to change for that agreement to be officially violated? I'm not sure, but certainly we have an ally that we've established and promised to defend against aggressive Russian action. And now here comes aggressive Russian action again, just like it did under Obama. And it looks like we're horribly ill-prepared.
Yeah, because there were sanctions against Belarus that violated it, and also that pesky annexation of Crimea by Russia. Superb point, Dan. Thank you very, very much. And Ukraine was not the only country that we sought to protect through that Budapest, it's just fun to say, Budapest Memorandum. Also, Belarus and Kazakhstan. These former Soviet republics, and that's a term I use a lot, is that Putin, there ain't no Soviet Union anymore, but Putin loves him, the concept of the old Mother Russia, and is looking to get the band back together as best he can. Should we stop him? Boy, of course there are arguments that say yes, but man, the prevailing arguments that say no, particularly from conservatives. Or like me. I mean, I am really hesitant. Yeah, and here's the funny thing. is, I mean, again, the notion of American blood and treasure going to flipping Ukraine, it doesn't float my boat so much. But the fascinating optics of today is, what is our usual stance? Oh, Biden, he doesn't do anything. Biden's not going to stop Russia. You know, Putin's not afraid of Biden, which all of which is true. But a lot of these things are being said by people who don't want America to go into Ukraine anyway. So I think our favorite thing, and it was a great point made by Mike Gallagher, is if Trump were president, this simply wouldn't be happening. There would, you know, Putin wouldn't risk it. And the best way to not have to go to war is to have an American president who is such a deterrent to worldly tyrants that they don't do anything that plunge us into war. 921. So are we living in the past and talking about this era of American involvement? The Jethro Tull reference to war's disaster. But there's another reason I'm breaking out with some Tull. You ready for this? All you Tull heads. Ian Anderson was a guest on the show some years ago, which was a ton of fun. We're working our way through the band. We're working our way through the band. Do you know who is bringing a show to the Arlington Music Hall on 4, 5, 6, 7, on Thursday night? Obviously, the flute and the sound of Ian Anderson's voice makes him centric to the notion of Jethro Tull. But if I lay down six notes for you, dude, Aqualung, hello, who's that? That's Martin Barr on the guitar. And he has gathered some vocalists and some instrumentalists, and he comes and does a set of Tull songs, and it's awesome. And Martin Barr joins us on Wednesday at just about this time at 9:35. Been with Jethro Tull from the beginning, from Living in the Past, 1969. That's him. Aqualung. That's him. Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die, Songs from the Wood, Minstrel in the Gallery. That's him. Jethro Tull guitarist Martin Barr, 9:35. Cannot wait. Okay, 928, 866-660-5759. David in Irving, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good.
Hey, so first, just a little aside about your crosstalk with Mike this morning. Mm-hmm. And I love you and I love Mike, but when he's poking fun at you about what are you worried about going to China, just remind him next time that he's the guy fully vaccinated, already had COVID, no symptoms, that before he hangs out with another fully vaccinated, already had COVID, no symptoms person has to give him 4 tests.
Where were you 2 hours ago? That is awesome. So for those that don't know, this won't count against your time. He was talking about how, like, and now NBC, the network carrying the Olympics, is scarcely sending people to China out of COVID concerns. And I thought, well, you know, it is China. I don't trust them as far as I could throw them. Maybe I wouldn't be that thrilled. Maybe there's some new secret variant they got cooked up over there. And he, like, berated me for being a COVID scaredy cat. Thank you, David. I will make this right tomorrow. What do you got?
So, and I kind of fall in more in line with the Tucker Carlson view. I'm not ready to jump in and be the world's police and commit our troops over there. I mean, but I do think it's going to be interesting to see the party that was just so up in arms and outraged at the mere possibility that aid was delayed by Trump to Ukraine because of how vital and important and crucial they were. I think will largely turn their back on them and not back, doing something in large numbers. What do you think?
I think that is a distinct possibility. In fact, that's what makes this a fascinating moment. It's a very serious moment. It is about war and peace and continental stability. But the political brainstem in me is just looking and just watching, as you obviously are as well, you know, what Republicans may say or do, what Democrats may say and do, and how some of their stances may be a disconnect from the kind of style that they've approached things at in the past, maybe the recent past. So thank you enormously. Thank you for that wonderful point about 7:35 tomorrow. I'm going to mention David's point to Mike and see how that works. Make me remember that. David, thank you. Yeah, buddy. Because for those who didn't hear that story, Mike, who chided me for being, you know, for giving voice to someone's concerns who might not want to go to China right now, was the guy who had a friend tested four times before he was considered going to a play with him on Broadway. Yeah, buddy, you know it's coming. Tomorrow's 7:35 segment. Right now it's 9:31. Here's what we're up for right now is a little visit with Gordon Griffin, and we'll come back and more of your thoughts, more of your calls, more stuff I haven't even played yet. It is Monday. We are glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Here's Gordon.
Time that I found her holding Jim, loving him.
Some vintage Neil Diamond.
Sue came along, loved me strong.
Solitary man.
Me and Sue.
Neil Diamond today
that I do
is 81.
Don't know that I will, but until I can find.
866-660-5759.
Won't play games behind me, but I'll be what I am, a solitary man.
What a rack of birthdays we got. Neil Diamond at 81. Aaron Neville is 81. Ray Stevens of The Streak and Ahab the Arab. You couldn't record that today. And Shriners Convention and all this. And, of course, Everything is Beautiful. Ray Stevens, 83. And the great Warren Zevon, the late great Warren Zevon, is 75. I will. It's funny because every Warren Zevon birthday, every January 24th, I close out with Tenderness on the Block or Lawyers, Guns, and Money. But I mentioned earlier the album that he put out knowing that his brain cancer was shortening his days. And you can hear the toll that it's taken on him. And yet it remains so powerful and so wonderful. And he wrote a song for his wife called Keep Me in Your Heart. And it's just remarkable. It's a masterpiece. And we will close the show out with it. But between now and then, we have various topical fish to fry. 866-660-5759. We paid a lot of attention to Ukraine and the notion of the possibility of taking what would essentially be a war footing stance with regard to Russia and Ukraine. Do you want to do that? And the majority answer I'm getting is no. And that makes me ask, okay, because I'm kind of with you on that, is to say, is the season over? And what an interesting season it's been, lasting, I don't know, a century-ish, where trouble spots around the world are things that, listen, if it's not tanks rolling down Main Street USA, we're just going to, we're kind of going to let it go. Which is funny, because if that's what y'all want, it's kind of tough to bust Biden's chops for the minor incursion thing, isn't it? Because it sounds like y'all are up for a major incursion. And again, when I say not doing anything, I don't mean not doing anything. Earlier callers have talked about economic sanctions, all kinds of other things we might do. So there are a lot of ways to go here. Let me give you a little burst from NBC this morning, and then maybe two other things if we got time. One is Democrats are in full panic in Texas because we're just not accepting willy-nilly vote-by-mail applications anymore. And they're freaking out. And, of course, the solution is, hey, you know, geniuses, show up at the voting place and prove who you are and vote in person. Now, a lot of people can't, you know, active duty military, et cetera, and that's always going to be fun. But what the Democrats have wanted in Texas, what they want all over America, is just anybody who just has a whim. I'd rather send in my ballot by mail. Guess what? No, unless you meet very specific criteria. And the other thing we're going to talk about a little bit is schools are I guess Grapevine is back open. Weatherford is back open after having to close last week. Not so much because of COVID transmission concerns, but because they ain't got no teachers. Teachers, school bus drivers, staff, sidelined, you know, with the Omicron. So so William Joy had a piece about teacher burnout, which we talked about last week, because there were a couple of stories that said, hey, we're having a tough time finding teachers. Well, listen, teaching is a very special calling under the best of circumstances. Under the best of circumstances. You throw this nonsense in with virtual learning and masks slapped across the face of a five-year-old and nobody can see anybody or watch anybody's lips move. That might be just an impediment to people thinking about getting into the teaching profession, which is a shame. That's extremely unfortunate, but I kind of get it. All right, let's start with NBC's Bree Jackson on the whole Ukraine thing.
...of embassy family members in Ukraine, citing reports that Russia is planning significant military action.
To de-escalate tensions...
Strong words from U.S. officials as tensions with Russia escalate. The U.S. Secretary of State warning if any Russian troops enter Ukraine.
In the event that there is a renewed Russian incursion, Russian forces going into Ukraine, there is going to be a swift, a severe and united response.
Wonder what that might be. It's funny because the conservative default position is, well, it's not going to be much because it's Biden and Biden's weak. Okay, let's stipulate that that's true. But y'all y'all aren't ready to go to war with Russia over Ukraine.
Russian forces amass along Ukraine's northern, southern, and eastern borders.
I am gravely concerned that Putin will show once again aggression in Europe and cross the boundary into Ukraine in the coming days or weeks.
Sparking calls from abroad and at home for President Biden to act fast and aggressively.
Mm. Let's make sure that we are pushing back right now.
That's Joni Ernst, Republican Senator of Iowa.
With stiff sanctions, making sure that we are showing Putin we do mean business.
The Biden administration already sending the first shipment of military aid while weighing options. Among them is to move U.S. troops and equipment from other parts of Europe into Poland, Romania, and other countries neighboring Ukraine.
Now Poland and Romania are to the west of Ukraine. And just mentioned there in Bree Jackson's piece is something that a lot of people have talked about, and that is the notion of maybe we don't need to send, American troops, but maybe we can just send them a whole bunch of American weapons that they can use to beat back the Russians. Okay. Is that going to go the same way as arming the Afghans? Because we certainly found out how incompetent the Afghans were.
Blinken stressing diplomacy as the preferred path forward.
That could enhance mutual security on a reciprocal basis. So, look, that is clearly the preferable path forward for everyone.
Can you repair relations?
President Biden not ruling out another summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I'm sure that'll solve everything. Okay, we are in Carrollton. Robert, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Doing good, Mark. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, there's a few things that are worrying me around this whole thing. So, when we look at you asked early on what has changed. When you look at the last 20 years, we've kind of got a history now with things not quite being told to us in terms of why we're doing things or the truth being kind of given to us in terms of plain English. So there is some concern that this is an oil issue for Europe. But my big concern is really kind of three things. Number one, Biden's connection to Ukraine and Hunter, and I don't know if there's anything there, but it kind of worries me that he's all of a sudden gung-ho on this when he's really had a bad track record with Afghanistan and other foreign policies. And then my other concern is, while we're focused on this, what's going on with China and Taiwan? I mean, if we're going to do this for Ukraine, and we're going to do that for Taiwan, are we going to now be divided on two fronts, trying to fight two different wars? I mean, those things kind of concern me about what's going on.
And
if you go back, I wouldn't put Jimmy Carter in trying to do a foreign policy. I sure wouldn't put Joe Biden.
That is wisdom on several fronts, Robert. Thank you. And another point that people make is that if we sort of antagonize Putin, and, we don't want to cozy up to him, but if we could drive him right into the arms of the Chinese. Drive him right, because I'll tell you who is loving this is the Chinese. Almost as much as the incoming waves of glorious positive attention as this evil communist regime gets ready to host the Olympics, loving the opportunity of American foreign policy attention divided in a conflict with regard to with regard to Russia. Okay, okay, the voting thing. Let's do that first on Inside Texas Politics. This was David Schechner, guest hosting, I guess, for Jason Whiteley, and he had on Andy Brown, who is Travis County judge, and Andy was involved in a whole lot of hand-wringing and panic because, gasp, some people are having a tough time recognizing that that we are fixing the loosey-goosiness of our elections in Texas.
It has frankly made it a lot more confusing and challenging for people to request vote by mail ballots. And
yeah, you got to give your driver's license number or social security number or some evidence that you are who you are. Oh, the humanity.
You know, the Secretary of State had a long time to figure out this process. And now that people are starting to apply, we're seeing that basically about 50% of the people who applied here in Travis County, I believe that's the case in other counties as well, are not meeting the criteria and therefore would be rejected.
Yeah. So guess what? Show up. How about that? Because if you have a valid reason not to be here and a valid reason, one of the relatively incredibly short list of valid reasons not to not to be there in person, then show up and vote. There's no substitute. There's nothing better than the ideal of real human beings showing up, proving who they are, and voting in person. And the left hates this because it's harder to cheat.
I think that the county clerk here, Dana DeBeauvoir, is waiting for further guidance from the Secretary of State to see if that number can be reduced. It sounds like there may be ways to do that. But in the end, it's confusing people. And even if they solve a big part of these rejections, my understanding is still there will be about 15% or so less,
yes,
fewer people that meet the criteria.
Of course there is, because we've changed the criteria, Andy. It's not as easy peasy, loosey goosey to engage in the, quite frankly, security problematic method of voting by mail. I know that the Travis County Judge Andy Brown and probably Daddy Clay in Dallas and who knows who else would love as much voting by mail as they can cram into the works. Not going to happen.
Vote by mail.
Isn't it?
David Schechner with a really good question.
Expected, I guess, when you roll out any kind of new policy that would essentially cover the entire state, everyone is registered to vote, that there would be some problems off the top?
Yeah, I guess so.
Thank you.
The question is, you know, why do you want to make it harder for people to vote?
We're not making it harder for people to vote. We're restoring norms that have been shattered. It was made too easy to cheat, and we are fixing that. Nobody has a goal of making it harder to vote. Voter suppression is a myth. Okay, as promised, the great Warren Zevon with one of the last most beautiful things he did. He would have turned 75 today, and so we'll have a little credit to him on the exit ramp next. It is hard to believe that Warren Zevon has been gone almost 20 years.
Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile.
After being diagnosed with inoperable cancer in 2003, he said, I'm going to do an album.
Keep me in your heart for a while.
It is called The Wind, and it is a masterpiece.
Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams.
So to take us out, the great Warren Zevon, who gave us Tenors on the Block and Werewolves of London and Excitable Boy.
When the winter comes.
But this is Keep Me in Your Heart.
Keep the fires lit, and I will be right next to you.
For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, technical guru Mr. Matt, news ace Gordon Griffin, I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic day. Mike Gallagher's next on 660 AM The Answer. See you in the morning right here, 7 to 10.
Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la. For a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.